This is your classical break, your daily dose of classical music. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we'll be listening to a suite of harpsichord music from George Frederick Handel. Now, the harpsichord was one of the most important instruments in classical music up until the latter part of the 18th century. It filled a lot of the same niches that the piano fills today, and like today's pianos, any composer or ensemble of note would have had at least one around. In many ways, it's similar to a piano, since it's a keyboard instrument where each key corresponds to certain strings. But rather than the felted hammer that a piano uses to strike that string, the harpsichord is a mechanism that plucks the strings, creating a unique sound, sharper but with less sustain. It's a very complicated mechanism, but it makes for a relatively straightforward style of playing many notes at once in a manner similar to the organ, which predates it by a few centuries. The harpsichord was ubiquitous in the 16th, 17th, and 18th centuries, but by the end of the 1700s, the piano was winning out as the favored keyboard instrument. Various developments on the piano made it a bit more versatile, capable of a wider range of expressiveness, and the harpsichord was fairly quickly forgotten. In some conservatories, they even used old harpsichords for firewood. It wasn't until the 20th century that interest revived in the instrument, and by then, there were relatively few original harpsichords remaining. So that brings up the issue of, well, how do you build a harpsichord? The earliest revival harpsichords used essentially piano bodies, but there was a push then to build more historically accurate instruments as well. Since most of the knowledge of how to build one was lost, makers have painstakingly reverse-engineered antique instruments, sometimes taking them apart and putting them back together again to figure out how each piece functioned. Handel was a master of both the harpsichord and the organ, and was in demand as a player as well as a composer. He'd often play for rehearsals of his operas and oratorios, and this piece was probably meant either for his own performances or for teaching. In fact, it was never meant to be published at all, and the compilation it was published in may have been an unauthorized printing of pirated music. Musical piracy is not just a 21st century thing. It goes back centuries. Here's Konstantin Stefan with Handel Suite in D minor for harpsichord. Thank you. You can hear the very peculiar sound of the harpsichord. I think it works quite well for the suite of dance movements like that one was. And just to give you a sense of the differences, now we're going to listen to a Handel Passacaglia from another suite of his. This one was written for harpsichord, but this performance is on the piano. And if you'll notice, you can hear the performer, Marcus Staub, trying to imitate some of those aspects of the harpsichord, like the spikiness and the shorter sustain, to try to make it sound like a harpsichord, even as he's playing the piece on the piano. Here's Marcus Staub with a Handel Passacaglia. a very different sound, but a sound that apparently people liked more than the harpsichord, because by the start of the 1800s, the harpsichord was in a huge decline. The piano was taking over and would continue to dominate throughout the 19th and 20th centuries right through to today. Thanks to Konstantin Stefan and Markus Staub for putting those recordings up on museopen.org. And thank you for listening. If you have the chance, please rate and review this podcast wherever it is that you're getting it. I'm Tyler Alderson, and tomorrow for your classical break, we'll be listening to a flute concerto by Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, one of the many Bach brothers. I'll see you then.